Live from WNUR News, I'm Gabe Shumway. You're listening to the 6 o'clock news on WNUR 89.3 FM, HD1, Evanston, Chicago. It's Wednesday, November 13th, 2024. Tonight on WNUR News, The Rock being painted by campus political groups, Inside Acapalooza at Northwestern, Letting Your State Flag Fly, and this week's sports report. Those stories and more tonight on WNUR News at 6. Thanks for swinging by. On Monday night, Northwestern College Republicans painted The Rock red, but various other students also showed up to challenge their messaging. Edward Simon Cruz and John Kowalski have the story.
On Monday morning, The Rock had a clear message painted on it in black and white: cats against hate. That evening, the message on The Rock changed three times in under 2 hours. Northwestern College Republicans, or NUCR, was responsible for the initial change Monday night. Some of its members planned to paint The Rock red with the acronym MAGA, short for President-elect Donald Trump's slogan, Make America Great Again. These plans changed when a larger group of students gathered, opposing the message. The students painting The Rock agreed to paint a new statement: NUCR for Unity. Weinberg freshman Alexander Torres thought this change was a good compromise.
And I agree with that message. I think in public discourse, people are going to be upset because they don't want to be reminded that their side lost an election. But I think as far as free speech goes, they followed the rules. They camped out for 24 hours, and they absolutely deserve to have their message up there.
On the other hand, communication junior Cameron Hagelin said it was disrespectful for NUCR to cover up and replace the previous message of unity. Hagelin described an incident that had occurred while a student was painting The Rock.
One person who was actively painting it, a girl in a baseball cap, she's around here somewhere, I did not catch her name. She pointed out to a group of people and said, "You guys are all in the club." And then when I said, "Oh, so you guys are condoning this?" All of them backed away and said, "No, no, no, we're not," except for one. Which is funny to me because now they're all around him filming. They were filming me arguing with one of the gentlemen there.
Several students at The Rock debated various political issues among themselves, talking about everything from reproductive rights to climate change to tariffs. Helgeland was arguing with Weinberg Jr. Hudson Quinn.
Yeah, I was just walking by. I saw my little brother was actually talking to some people here, and they were berating him and screaming at him, calling him names, so I felt the need as his big brother to step in.
Quinn described to me how the environment that he grew up in, that being New York City, was very similar to a college campus in its hostility towards Republicans.
There are a lot of people who literally will hate you because maybe you want lower taxes, but you just have to ignore those people and focus on the people who want to have a conversation in good faith and who can manage their emotions enough to accept people who disagree with them.
Between Friday and Saturday, unidentified students painted pro-Trump statements on and around The Rock, including the MAGA acronym and the phrase "Cats for Trump." On Saturday morning, students painted over parts of the messaging in blue. By the end of the weekend, the entire Rock was eventually repainted in black and white with the Cats Against Hate message. One person who helped with the design was communication freshman Kyle Vetter. As we spoke with Vetter on Monday night, another student began painting over the NUCR and the 4, leaving only the word unity. Vetter's response:
I feel like just stop making it such like a two-sided division. If both sides stand for unity, then unify. That's what the word means.
And then something else happened.
Yeah, I feel like there's... and they spray painted MAGA. All right, cute. Well, that's that down the drain.
Weinberg Sr. and NUCR President Janine Yuen was the one to spray paint MAGA onto The Rock. She said that under the compromise, The Rock could include both NUCR for Unity and a message supporting Trump. After part of that design was covered up, Yuen said she would still paint the planned message of support.
The Rock is a symbol of free speech. If we camped it out and followed the rules, we camped it out for 24 hours, and if we paint our design on there, that should stay on there. It is a cornerstone of freedom of speech, and the fact that they were able to vandalize that so quickly and take it down so quickly meaning that there is a major condemnation of voices here on campus, and I think that is incredibly unhealthy for political discourse and for the U.S. society as a whole.
Communication freshman Ian Ruark believed that the message of MAGA painted on the rock seemed to be spreading hatred.
When human rights are on the debate, it's not about politics anymore. And we're still making it about politics. And so my opinion is that if you believe that this is going to be what a great America looks like, then you are not on the side of human life.
Helgeland gave a message for college Republicans.
There's room for you here as long as you are respectful of others. And I think they have shown that they are not. And I'm disappointed in them also, because I think that college is a time in general to learn more about various viewpoints. And I feel they have come in with a very narrow viewpoint and a very I'm right, you're wrong attitude, to the point of harm to others. I'm disappointed. But as I said to one of them who said that they were cold, I will lend you my coat regardless. I don't mind being cold if it means you're warm, but I know that you would not do the same for me because I hold different views.
Torres identifies as left-leaning but said the right-leaning students generally behaved more respectfully than the left-leaning ones.
The club, the right here, camped it out 24 hours, made a compromise with the students who showed up, put up a respectful message, and then I think the left was the one who more so went against the rules, scrubbed off their message, and then also in the discourse I've observed more yelling or talking over or logical fallacies from the left who don't really seem to be as interested in listening, as opposed to the right.
Weinberg sophomore and NUCR treasurer Gabriel Bayer helped paint the rock on Monday evening, even as he said he had his own reservations toward the idea. Bayer said that many on campus enforce free speech with a double standard, disproportionately targeting and silencing conservative students. When I spoke with him Tuesday, he said students needed to expose themselves to different and possibly new perspectives.
I think yesterday was a missed opportunity because we were so close to having a deep moment of unity. We had some great conversations with the opposing side. And just to see someone who was just attack that display of unity, just betray the idea that we could have unity or free speech in this campus, leading to a knee-jerk response, is super disappointing because, like, we're better than this. I really do think we're better than this.
Weinberg freshman Jacob Benitez helped paint over the previous pro-MAGA messaging on the rock. He said he wanted to paint over the rock this time, but he simply didn't find it productive.
When I was walking down my stretch from East Fairchild, I was like, hey, I should bring the tent out again. Or, you know, they're already done painting. You just, like, start camping out, wait the 24 hours. But I have work tomorrow. Like, I work a six-hour shift tomorrow. I have studying to do. I have jobs to do. So, yeah, if only I were that free.
Ewan left the rock with a bucket of paint shortly after 11 p.m., while the students who remained mostly wrapped up their conversations around midnight. Many shook hands and exchanged cordial goodbyes as they left.
Around 12:30 a.m., unidentified students partially covered up the acronym MAGA with red paint. As of Wednesday afternoon, the design on the rock remains unchanged. For WNUR News, I'm Edward Simon Cruz.
And I'm John Kowalski.
Now diving headlong into the world of arts and entertainment. Each year, Northwestern's Family Weekend is packed with activities, but one event stands out for parents and students alike. Sophie Pasqua has the story.
Each fall during Family Weekend, parents of musically gifted Wildcats flock together for one awk-amazing event.
Acapalooza is a partnership between Family Engagement and Northwestern University Dance Marathon, or NUDM. It's an event that we've been hosting the last few years where we have all the a cappella groups come perform, and it raises money for our beneficiaries, which this year are Chicago Hopes for Kids and the Evanston Community Foundation.
That was Weinberg sophomore Rachel McCann, the special events chair for Northwestern University Dance Marathon, also known as NUDM. NUDM is Northwestern's oldest and largest philanthropic organization, and its main event is a 15-hour dance marathon in the winter that raises money for charitable organizations across Evanston and the Chicago communities. Acapalooza is one of the additional fundraising events hosted annually by NUDM, and this year it took place in a completely new setting.
Yeah, so in previous years we've been doing it in the evening on either Friday or Saturday night during family weekend because it's a great way for families to see their children perform. But this year there's a lot of other stuff going on at night. There's the volleyball game last night and then Second City show tonight. So we had a really cool opportunity to do it during this brunch, where last year they did the brunch, but they wanted some sort of entertainment, and it was a great way to merge both of those conflicts and bring Acapalooza to the family weekend brunch.
On Sunday morning of family weekend, the Lewis Room inside the Norris University Center was teeming with excited parents and passionate performers alike. After an impressive set from the Undertones, Medill Senior and Undertones President Nicole Tan overflowed with pride.
Oh my God, it was so much fun. It was a little, Acapalooza was a little different this year, but I really liked the format of the brunch, and it was a lot easier to see everyone's faces, and it honestly felt a lot more intimate than if we were just performing on a big stage like in McCormick Auditorium and just looking out into the crowd. So yeah, I honestly really loved it. There were definitely a lot of smiles in the crowd, which is just, it's exciting to see because again, when you're in an auditorium, it's harder to see people's faces, and I love looking at people and engaging with people when we sing. So it was definitely exciting to see that they were engaged, enthusiastic, and there were some familiar faces in the crowd as well as unfamiliar faces. And yeah, I think it was a really good mix.
Members of the Acapalooza crowd also appreciated this year's format. Here's JP Park, parent of School of Communications freshman Ethan Park, who is a member of the Troublemakers.
So the energy is definitely the one, the stage presence, the energy, the force of everyone just working, you know, in unity and harmony. That was just absolutely beautiful to see. I love the parents just coming together, and we're all strangers, but we're making connections through our children. But also it's just a camaraderie of just supporting one another. I think that's something that I really blessed me and impressed me. So I'll say that.
With a perfect blend of music, community, and philanthropy, Acapalooza once again brought families and performers together for a memorable family weekend. As NUDM gears up for its main event in the winter, Acapalooza set an inspiring tone for the fundraising efforts to come.
If you want to register to dance, go to go.nudm.org. And if you want to get more involved, you can email exec@nudm.org to learn more.
For WNUR News, I'm Sophie Pasqua.
State flags can represent the most important and sometimes the most controversial aspects of a state's history. How do state's residents grapple with these representations and their changes? Ella Smith and Rachel Spears have the story.
For many, it isn't always easy to let your freak flag fly, but several U.S. states have state flags that are unique, sometimes in interesting ways. From flags with toes, nudity, images of violence and peace, designs run the gambit. But there are two things many of them have in common. They aim to create a sometimes debatable sense of state pride, and they are blue. There is a lot of blue. Recent changes to state flags in Mississippi, Utah, and most recently Minnesota, have brought into question the role of history and identity when it comes to unifying symbols like a flag. Who do flags represent? Who might they exclude? To find out, we asked Northwestern students from different states their opinions on their state's flags. Monica Young, a freshman in Weinberg, hails from Biloxi, Mississippi. In January 2021, the state adopted a new flag, replacing one that included the Confederate battle flag.
There are a lot of people that really identify with that flag given its heritage and their heritage. So there was definitely a lot of controversy surrounding it. A lot of people were overall happy with the new flag just because it just looks better.
The new Mississippi state flag features the state flower, a magnolia, surrounded by stars and the phrase, "In God We Trust." Young said that the new flag embodies a sense of Mississippi pride that can be enjoyed by everyone. Chase Wakelin, a Weinberg freshman from Atlanta, Georgia, spoke about Georgia's state flag, which was changed in 2003. It has three stripes and the state's coat of arms in gold.
I think that it's a pretty well-appreciated design. I think that people appreciate that it calls back to Georgia's status as one of the first 13 states.
The complicated histories of some states can make it difficult to have a flag that embodies the past in a way that provides a sense of community but does not offend. Wakelin said the changes made to the state flag are a good thing.
I think that Georgians are really prideful and they're proud, not of that part of their history, but of our history overall. And it's hard to express that and ignore some parts of it, but maybe that's a part better left out.
Besides state flags with symbols dating back to the Civil War, there are many state flags that show indigenous people or symbols. One of these states is Massachusetts. Their state flag is white with a blue crest that shows the Native American Massachusetts holding a bow and arrow, representing peace. While there are varying opinions about this particular state flag, one Weinberg first year, Patrick Berg, says that he likes how the flag points to the original inhabitants of the land, but thinks that more could be done.
I think it kind of pays homage a little to the initial residents of the land, which, not a lot of states do that, and I know doing it is not enough, but it's still, I think, a nice way of saying this is where the land came from.
There are currently no efforts to change the Massachusetts state flag. In Minnesota, however, a measure to change the flag from one that featured the state crest and images of indigenous people to a more simple design was recently enacted.
Well, I think it's better than the old flag, but to me, it's a little boring. I like the colors because they do represent waters in Minnesota, but yeah, I think there could be a little bit more on it.
That was CESPE's second year, Maya Hidalgo. Despite her misgivings about the new flag, she agreed with the decision to change it from the old design.
Sometimes that can be hard for people, especially when there's so much history behind a flag and like with the symbolism. But I think like in this particular case, it was good to change it because the old one was pretty offensive and not very respectful to the people who lived in Minnesota before it became a state.
Young agrees that change is difficult. In her state of Mississippi, there are still remnants of the past, despite the changing of the flag.
Well, if it's a part of history, it's never truly going to be erased, even if you do change things. Because, like, for example, in the backyard of the Beauvoir, there's Confederate soldiers' graves that have, hundreds and thousands of, tiny little Confederate flags.
The variety in flag designs across the 50 states and the push to update them has brought history and culture into the conversation. But for some, symbols like the flag do not garner much state pride.
I personally don't have too much vested in the state flag. It's not a big part of my identity, and I think I speak for a lot of people from Massachusetts saying that. So if people want to change it, go for it.
On the other hand, Young enjoys having something that unifies the state.
So I really like the change because I can have Pride in Mississippi, rep my Magnolian flag on the back of my car or on my tag, and not have to think about, the past and all that came from the flags.
For WNUR News, I'm Ella Smith with Rachel Spears.
As fall sports come to a close, winter sports have also begun. From fall championships to the early stages of winter basketball, I have it all. Here is this week's sports report. Hello, I'm Gabe Shumway here with your NU Sports Report on everything from this past week. Six of Northwestern's fencers made the trip to Louisville for the North American Cup, a 4-day competition from Friday to Monday. This competition did not have a Division I category, so it was limited to those under 20 to compete in the junior categories. With a wide variety of performances, the most notable for Northwestern was Nisha Heald, who secured a bronze medal in the women's saber. Additionally, Natalie Shearer competed with the same weapon and, after an undefeated run in pool play, wound up falling in the round of 32. For field hockey, the Big Ten tournament was in full swing in College Park, Maryland over the weekend, with the undefeated Northwestern Wildcats as the favorite. They didn't miss a beat with a 2-0 win against Rutgers to start off. The team suffered its first loss of the season shortly after, falling to Michigan by a final score of 0-1. This makes them the second-ranked team entering the NCAA tournament, only trailing first overall North Carolina. With NU volleyball having its fair share of struggles recently, the past week was a bounce back for them. While they lost to Penn State Friday, they did take a set against the number 3 ranked Nittany Lions, a feat they had only accomplished in one of 5 prior matches. The Cats proved they could take match victories too, however, as they beat Iowa on the road Sunday in 4 sets. They'll have their hands full with the number 10 ranked Oregon Ducks Friday in Eugene. After a dominant win against Lehigh in their first time out, the men's basketball team came back down to earth last week. Their first matchup away against a tough Dayton team ended up in a narrow 5-point loss after blowing an early lead. The second matchup Tuesday was at home against the University of Illinois at Chicago. While the matchup was closer than many fans expected, the Cats escaped with an 83-74 victory. Nick Martinelli continued his hot start to the season and is now averaging 29 points per game through 3 games, which is good for 5th in the nation. Northwestern basketball fans had less to write home about on the women's side this week after 2 losses. The first to Illinois State was a back-and-forth game the whole way, with a tied score going into the 4th quarter. Illinois State did get the better of the Cats in the end, winning 81-77 on the back of a 23-point performance from Shannon Dowell. Northwestern could not bounce back the next time out against Lehigh's strong shooting presence. The Cats fell by 17 in this contest, with the bright spot being Taylor Williams' 22-point double-double. That wraps up your NU Sports Report for this week. For more information about upcoming games, as well as how you can watch the Wildcats live, visit www.nusports.com. I'm Gabe Shumway for WNUR News. Taking a look into the headlines. Friday evening saw one of Northwestern's intercampus shuttles struck by a bullet. The shuttle was in Chicago at the time, close to the Loyola campus. None of those on the bus were hurt. Evanston's mayoral race is in full swing with 2 candidates, incumbent Daniel Biss and challenger Jeff Borini. Borini's goal is unity among the community with the message "better than Biss." After his win in the 2024 election, Donald Trump has begun to set his cabinet. Matt Gaetz is his pick for Attorney General, with Marco Rubio as the Secretary of State. Other additions to his cabinet include Vivek Ramaswamy, Elon Musk, and Elise Stefanik. Somaliland is a region in Somalia where many have called for independence in recent years. Elections are underway in this region as their incumbent president continues to push for more international recognition for the nation. That's all for WNUR News at 6 p.m. For more news updates and reports, follow us on X, formerly known as Twitter, at WNUR News. You can listen to these and other WNUR News stories on our website, WNURnews.org. That's WNURnews.org. Find us on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, or wherever you listen to your podcasts. Our producer today is Sophia Quesa, and our reporters are Edward Simon Cruz, John Kowalski, Sophie Pasqua, Ella Smith, Rachel Spears, and myself.
From all of us here at WNUR News, thanks for listening. I'm Gabe Shumway. Catch our next newscast on Friday, November 15th at 6 p.m. Now, back to scheduled programming.